But I want you to turn in your Bibles, if you would, to Isaiah 55, verses 8 and 9. We're going to start there. And it's been quite an eventful week around here. You know, every time I get the opportunity to preach, it seems like that's when everything goes haywire. The baptistry goes down. That didn't happen this week. I just didn't turn it on. So we're having a baptism tonight, and it's not quite warmed up. But it's warmed up better than the Jordan River was. So you're suffering for Jesus tonight when you get baptized, all right? Like Jesus. You're going to be just like Jesus tonight, getting baptized in cold water. Then we had our septic system backed up in the school. And I'm thinking, today's the day I'm going to prepare the message. And I always think that that's going to work out, but it doesn't always work the way. It's not what you think. And it kind of goes right along with my sermon title. And God always seems to give sermon illustrations. And then we had our fire alarm system replaced this week. It all has to happen this week. And a lot of things were happening. And it came in tonight, and I was showing Pete Musterman, one of our security guys, how you can reset the fire alarm. And I set the fire alarm off. So we got it firsthand, scared the choir half to death, but it works. It's working very good. So it's a wonderful thing. We're going to look at Isaiah chapter number 55, verses 8 and 9. And the Bible says this, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." And right now we are teaching a series in our Sunday school class that's just this right here. It's not what you think. And evidently, I think Brother Vestal is teaching that same series right now, I found out, and Colby was telling me. And it's a very powerful series. And so we're going to talk about some of those things that we've learned in that class. It'll be a little bit different than what we've been actually having in class. I'm going to combine a few of the lessons together. So we're going to do three lessons in one tonight. So this is something that Pastor Daniel Mawson, he's the author of this, It's Not What You Think, and he pastors the Victory Baptist Church in Chester Springs, Pennsylvania, and you can get that from Striving Together Publications. Great series. If you'd like to get that, you can. But many times we don't see things the way God sees them. We go through life and we think that maybe we might have a good education, or we might have things together, or maybe we have plans for our lives, and you know, it doesn't always go the way we want it to. Have you figured that out in life? Life doesn't always happen the way we plan it to happen, and God allows certain things to come into our lives because he wants to mold our lives and to help us to become more like what he wants us to be. And so it's not always what we think. It's not always how we would think it should happen. It's not the way we might envision the way things should go all the time. Our natural reasoning falls short every time. Every time. The way we think it's supposed to go, we're going to fall short. Here's what Pastor Mawson says in his introduction. He says, "We think we know how to handle the situations we find ourselves in and the challenges we face. We come up against obstacles, relationship struggles, financial pressures, and we have ideas of how to respond. But in the end, our ideas are not only insufficient, but they are also usually the exact opposite of God's ways." The exact opposite. We think, for instance, that trials only bring pain. God says they bring growth. We think that the way to get is to keep. God says the way to receive is to give. We think the greatest person has the highest position, but God says the greatest is a servant. We think that God uses great people. God says he delights to use insignificant people. See, we don't think the same way that God thinks. God's ways are higher than our ways. He thinks his thoughts are better than our thoughts. God's solutions to our obstacles are many times just the opposite of our plans. See, too many times we want to have control of our circumstances. Too many times we want to control the outcome of our day, or even control what we can sit down and we can make plans. Like I mentioned this week on Monday, I was kind of hoping to spend a large portion of the day studying. And I ran into trouble with We're building a shed for a pastor's house, and things didn't quite go with the, when they dropped off the materials. They didn't quite show up. Everything didn't show up that we needed that day, so I had to spend a little bit of the morning fixing that. And, of course, I get a call while we're in shop class. My phone was going berserk. The sewer's backing up in the kitchen. You know, it's like, great, that's not what I wanted to work on right now. That's not what my schedule was for the day. And then while I'm dealing with that and trying to get that resolved, Brother Paul calls and says, Brother Hoxie, he says, I don't know if you have anything going on right now, but the bus is overheating, and I need somebody to come pick us up. And I'm thinking, well, brother, if you can't find anybody else, give me a call. I'll be glad to come help you. And then I get a call from my kids that need attention with something. You see, we go through our day, and we don't always think that it's going to go like we want it to. And it's difficult when things don't go as planned. And then I was supposed to have a court hearing I was supposed to go to on Tuesday. So I knew my day was going to be tied up on Tuesday. And then the fire alarm guy showed up on Tuesday. I'm like, oh, that's right. They're putting the new fire alarm system in this week. It's like, Lord, don't you realize I'm busy? Don't you realize I have things I need to get ready? And that's the way it goes sometimes. That's the way our lives are sometimes. It's not what we think. But, you know, God knows what he's doing, and we just need to let him do whatever he wants to do with our lives. Let him send into our lives whatever he wants to, and he's in charge of things. The moment we feel like we're in charge of our schedule, our lives, our finances, our relationships, we're in trouble. We've got to understand that God is the one that's in control of these things. And if we'll let him have control, it's amazing what he will do in our lives. One of the toughest things to do as a Christian sometimes is to walk by faith. See, we want to see the results. We want to orchestrate what goes on in our lives. We want everything, we think that everything needs to make sense to us before deciding to step out and just trust God. We want it all figured out. We want to sit down and just make sure that the plans are figured out. Before we can just trust God, we want to make sure that the end result is going to be what we think they should be. And the truth is, we just need to trust God. You work out everything you possibly can, and you do everything you possibly can to prepare for whatever it may be that God would have you to do. But ultimately, you're going to have to trust God in every area of your life because he's the one that's in control of it. You know, we have to let him have that in our lives. So lesson number one is that we need to trust and obey. Trust and obey. One of the toughest and yet best decisions you'll ever make in your life is to give God full control of the steering wheel in your life. Full control. I mean, when you let God make every decision for your day, every day. I mean, full control. God, I really don't want to deal with that today. God, I really don't want to go down that road. God, I know that's what you're asking me to do, but God, really, do I have to do that? Hey, we need to give God full control and let him make the decisions in our lives and let him have full control of the steering wheel in our lives. It takes faith, and that's easier said than done. Remember Naaman in the Bible? He was a high-ranking official in the Syrian army. He had leprosy. And he got word that he could go to a man of God, Elisha, and he could potentially be healed. So he goes to Elisha's house, and things didn't quite happen the way he felt like they should. Let's look at it in 2 Kings chapter number 5, verses 9 through 12. It says, Naaman came with his horses and with his chariot and stood at the door of the house of Elisha. And Elisha sent a messenger unto him. Elisha didn't even go and meet him. See, Naaman thought, why doesn't the man of God even come talk to me? He sent a messenger to him. And he said, go and wash in Jordan 7 times, and thy flesh shall come again to thee, and thou shalt be clean. Look what it says in verse number 11. And Naaman was wroth. He was upset. Look, you don't even come to see me. I come all the way down here to get help from the man of God, and you don't even come and see me. You won't even talk to me. You send your messenger out, and then you're going to tell me to go dip in. You're going to go tell me to go dip in the Jordan River, the dirty water, and I'm going to be clean. It's not exactly what he was thinking. Elisha was going to tell him, and it says he went away and said, "Behold, I thought he will surely come out to me and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God and strike his hand over the place and recover the leper." Are not Abana and Pharpar, rivers of Damascus, better than all the waters in Israel? May I not wash in them and be clean? And so he turned away in rage. He was upset. You ever gone to the preacher? Pastor's here tonight. You ever gone to the pastor and he gave you advice that you really didn't want to hear? You ever been upset with the pastor? I'm upset with him all the time. No, I'm just kidding. Miss Vicki says, yeah, every day. Hey, sometimes you'll go and you'll get counsel and you'll say, Pastor, that's not the answer I was looking for. He'll probably say, how's your Bible reading going? Well, how's your prayer life going? Well, and we're thinking that he's going to wave his magic wand and fix our problem, and he may not have the answer that we're expecting. Sometimes the answers are very simple. We just get back to the basics. Maybe he didn't like the way he handled the situation. That's where Naaman was at. He didn't like the way the man of God responded to his efforts. Notice in 13 it says, and the servants came near and spake unto him and said, my father, if the prophet had bid thee to do some great thing, wouldest thou not have done it? How much rather than when he saith to thee, wash and be clean? See, sometimes people have to speak up and say something to us and realize to convince us, you know, hey, look, if he'd given you something great to do, wouldn't you have done it? Sometimes even we as leaders, and this was the captain of the army here, and one of his servants had to subtly and humbly and tactfully come up. These servants had to come up and say, hey, you know, why don't you just try it? And he listened. In verse 14, he says, okay, well, he went down and dipped himself seven times in Jordan, according to the saying of the man of God, and his flesh came again like unto the flesh of a little child, and he was clean. He was just obedient. You know, sometimes we don't understand why God wants us to do what he wants us to do, but if we'll just trust him and obey him, he does know what's best. He does know how to help us through our situation. Some observations here, I kind of mentioned them already, but some servants were bold and tactful about encouraging Naaman to obey. And sometimes we need to speak up and encourage others. You know, even preachers need encouragement once in a while. You know, even Sunday school teachers need encouragement once in a while. And it may be that's just somebody that's following say, you know what? Hey, why don't you step out and do that? I've had people in my Sunday school class that encouraged me to do more than what I felt like I could be doing. And said, hey, why don't we try to do this? And that's okay to do sometimes if we do it tactfully. Naaman also humbled himself and took the advice of his servants and obeyed the man of God. And that takes humility to be able to do that, to take the advice sometimes of followers. Sometimes our pride gets the best of us and we think that we have control of our situation or that we should have control. Look what it says in John 15, 5. It says, I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. And I love what it says here. For without me ye can do nothing. See, we have to get to the place in our Christian life to where we realize that there is nothing that we can do in our own power. If we get away from the vine, if we get unplugged from Jesus Christ, hey, we're doing it in our own strength. We're doing it in our own power. You will not survive the Christian life if you're doing it in your own power. You're going to crash. You're going to fail. Hey, we have to be plugged in to the vine. And without him, we can do nothing. Hey, when you fall flat on your face, why don't you go back to that pastoral advice? Hey, how's your Bible reading doing? Hey, how's your prayer life doing? Because you have to get plugged in. We have to be plugged into the Word of God, and we got to be plugged into Jesus if we're going to be a success. Because without him, we can do, the Bible says, nothing. You can't brush your teeth without his help. I mean, you can't do nothing. And so we've got to get to that place to where we're fully surrendered, to where we understand that. We are better off when we do not have control of our situation, but we allow the Holy Spirit to have full control. That's where we have to step out by faith, because We don't see the end results out there. We don't see where the Holy Spirit's going to take us. We don't see what God is doing in our life. We don't understand why the financial pressures. We don't understand why the problems with the children. We don't understand why the problems at work. We don't understand why the roof is leaking. We don't understand why we're having whatever issues are coming our way at the time. We don't understand why God would allow us to go through difficult circumstances in our life. But when we let God have full control of our lives, we understand that we know and we trust that He knows what He's doing. And God, You take me down whatever road You want me to go down. You do whatever You want to in my life because I know You're in control and You're not going to steer me wrong. Hey, we've got to learn to step out and trust and obey the Lord. Let Him have full control. Remember the feeding of the 5,000? Jesus told the disciples He wanted to feed the crowd. The disciples were thinking, "You're crazy. There's 5,000 people out here. We don't even have enough money to feed 5,000 people. How in the world can we do that? We can't afford that." He told the disciples to have the people sit down in groups of 50 or 100. And they fed everybody in that crowd. And that was 5,000 men plus women and children. And they fed everybody in that crowd with two loaves. What was it? Five loaves and two fishes. Five loaves and two fishes. The lad's lunch. And he fed the entire crowd. And you know what the disciples had to do? They had, and they've seen it over and over again, but they had to trust that He's got it under control, that God knows what He's doing and He can take care of these things, and He always does. Pastor says, "We're going to have a big day. We're going to build a building. We don't have any money, but we're going to do it." It takes faith. I love that kind of faith. And I know sometimes it can be stressful because we're like, how in the world are we going to see it happen? But I've had this conversation with Pastor so many times. "Pastor, are you sure that's what God wants us to do?" Yeah, I just believe that's what God wants us to do. All right, let's do it. Because when a man of God has faith like that, God's going to take care of it. Listen, I've been here 8 years and I've seen building project after building project that we've worked on. And I'm thinking, how in the world are we going to make this happen? How are we going to figure it out? How are we going to pay for it? But as long as I know the man of God knows that's what God wants us to do, I don't care about anything else. Now, Jeremy does because he's in charge of the finances. But I don't have to worry about that. But I am being serious. And that is hard because I've done finances before and it can be stressful. It's like, how are we going to make this work? But I've seen time and time and time again how God took care of the finances every time. And He's doing amazing things right now, and Jeremy has a big part in orchestrating a lot of that, and praise God, God's using him in that capacity. I'm very thankful for that. But when we get to the place to where we think we've got it figured out, we're in trouble. We've got to trust God by faith. God wants to take the little that we have and do great things with it, just like the lad's lunch. How about Lazarus? Lazarus became sick. Martha sent for Jesus. And rather than going immediately, remember, Jesus waited 4 days. Martha's like, "Jesus, if You would have just come, he would be alive. You would have kept him from dying." But that wasn't God's plan. God's ways were different. When Jesus arrived, Lazarus had already died. Martha said to Jesus, "Lord, if Thou had been here, my brother had not died." We need to realize that God's timing does not always line up with our timing. God's timing is not always the same as ours. That's one of the hardest things sometimes for us to understand. You know, it may be God's will to take care of a certain thing in our life, but it may not be His timing. And that's what Martha and Mary had to understand, that God's timing is always perfect. Mary and Martha would have missed out on a miracle if they had it their way. Jesus did raise Lazarus from the dead, but it was taken care of in His timing. Have you ever worked on organizing something, made plans for something, and you've put hours into it, and you have a deadline you set for it, and then all those plans just kind of fall through? You're like, "Oh, this is not working out." It gets frustrating. It didn't work out the way you were hoping it would. Perhaps you were planning on building a house, and then COVID hit. And the price of lumber went through the roof, literally, through your roof, all right? And what timing? What timing? Is it God's plan that we move? Hey, God's timing is different than our timing sometimes. We got to understand that. But God's ways are higher than our ways. And we need to learn to just trust him. And we need to learn to trust his timing. Exodus chapter number 32, Aaron and the children of Israel got tired of waiting on Moses. They got tired of waiting. You remember the story? Let's look at it. Exodus 32, 1. And when the people saw that Moses delayed to come down out of the mount, the people gathered themselves together unto Aaron and said unto him, Up, make us gods which shall go before us. For as for this Moses, the man that brought us up out of the land of Egypt, we wot not what has become of him. What in the world is going on with Moses? I mean, Moses, the man of God, he's up spending time with God. And now the people are getting discouraged and they're like, where's the man of God? He must be out visiting again, or he must be out touring the world again. He's on a missions trip. We need to be careful because sometimes we can think, what's the man? Hey, the man of God is busy getting instructions from God. That's what Moses was doing here, and he's trying to get a hold of God. But Aaron said unto them, break off the golden earrings, which are in the ears of your wives and your sons, and of your daughters, and bring them unto me. And all the people break off the golden earrings, which were in their ears, and brought them to Aaron, and he received them at their hand, as fashioned it was a great, and fashioned it with a graving tool. After he had made a molten calf, and they said, "These be thy gods, O Israel, which brought thee up out of the land of Egypt." See, all of a sudden, the God changed in their life. Hey, there is only one God, but too many times we allow many gods to control our lives, whatever that may be. That could be anything. Anything that we put before God. I want you to know some observations here with this event here. I didn't give all the verses. We were going to go down a little farther, but we need to understand that Moses was spending time with God getting instructions on how to lead the children of Israel. And notice the people got tired of waiting on Moses. It said there, we mentioned it already, but we wot not what has become of him. I want to caution all of us, and I've been down this road before to where I didn't quite understand everything going on. You've been in church work long enough. Sometimes you see ministry work, you don't always understand why certain decisions are made or whatever. Sometimes we can get a bad attitude. And see, that's what happened with Aaron and the children of Israel. They got a bad attitude. When things were going exactly the way God wanted them to happen, the man of God was spending time with God and getting instructions with God. If we're not careful, sometimes we'll get a little critical and think, well, why isn't the preacher doing that? Or why isn't he the one coming to greet me, remember, like Naaman? Why isn't the man of God the one that's doing this? And what we don't realize is God has given us a man of God, whoever that may be, whatever church we're involved in, people watching live stream, maybe in a different church, doesn't matter who it is. But we're in a wrong situation when we get a bad attitude towards the man of God. That's right. And our lives are going down a wrong road when we go against a man of God. I could give you some good advice. If you're ever at odds and you're not quite understanding the man of God, if you're ever at odds with the man of God, this is what I tell people all the time. If they're in that situation, you pray that God either changes him or God changes you. Because many times, what I found out when I felt like I needed to change the man of God, I'm the one that needed to be changed. I'm the one that needed to be humbled. That's the way it usually is. And it's not always that way. You know, preachers are human. You know, there's times when you can bring something up. Our pastor's a man. He makes mistakes. But he's also humble enough to admit when he makes a mistake, and it's okay to go talk to him when you don't see eye to eye. But don't go talk around his back. And don't go and build molten images and build other gods and pull everybody away and pull everybody in a different direction than what the man of God that God is called to do, to take, that's in charge of that church that he's put him in charge of. Hey, we need to make sure that our attitude is in check. What's amazing about this situation, though, is that it revealed the true heart of Aaron and the children of Israel. See, their heart wasn't really with God. They were serving other gods. But it came out when they were frustrated with the situation at hand, because they were got tired of waiting on the man of God. Hey, many times what will happen is God will reveal something in your life and it shows your true heart. Sometimes as staff members or deacons or church members, sometimes they see things that need to be fixed. And if we're not careful, we can get a bad attitude when it seems like nobody's doing anything to fix the problem. Man, I've been there. And we can get a bad attitude about it. You know, it might just be God's timing. It might just be God's timing that we're working on, and we need to just trust the Lord. And I wrote this down here too. I put it right in the notes. This may be a hard horse pill to swallow, but maybe God wants to use the problem to fix you or to fix me. You know, a lot of times we don't understand that. We don't realize that problems come into our life, and it's not so much that we need to fix that problem. It may be that God wants to use that very issue that you're dealing with to change something in your life. I wish you could hear that. I wish you could understand that when things come our way that we don't quite understand, when things come into our lives that we think it's just not fair, it's just not the way it should be. I would say most of the time, God allowed that circumstance to come into your life because He wants to mold your life in a different way than what you think you want to be molded in. That's a powerful truth. And when those storms come into our life, we don't understand it. If we had understand that God's doing something through that storm, we could handle the storm a little bit better because we know God's in control. What do we have to do? We just have to trust and we have to obey Him. Sometimes we need to let God fix us. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, familiar passage. Trust the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths. And so we don't need to understand why necessarily. We just need to trust and obey. And then the second lesson is realize that death brings life. Realize that death brings life. If you want to experience the fruitful life, then you must learn to die to self. If you want to live a real Christian life, if you want to live on top side, if you want to live the Christian life that God wants you to live, you're going to have to learn to die to yourself every day. It's not about our agenda, it's about His. Even Jesus followed this model. Look at John chapter number 6, verse 38. For I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of Him that sent me. See, it's not about us. We need to die to our own wills. Hey, you may have a great desire to do something great for God someday. You may have a great desire to start a business. You may have a great desire to do whatever it is that you think that you have a desire to do. And sometimes God will give us the desires of our heart. There's nothing wrong with having a vision. There's nothing wrong with having a plan. There's nothing wrong with having a direction for your life. There's nothing wrong with making a decision to move forward. There's nothing wrong with that. But you want to make sure that, is that what God's plan is for your life? We can go ahead and prepare and organize our ministry. We can put our heart into it. We can put hours into it. We can pour our life into whatever it is that we think that we should do with our lives. But we need to die to our plans and let's get plugged into whatever His plans are. God, if this is what you want me to do with my life, that's what I'm going to do. If we're not careful, when things don't go the way we think they should, we get a little bent out of shape. And we start thinking the wrong way. Because things didn't go the way we felt like they should. Hey, if we would die to ourselves and just follow God's plan, hey, we'd live the fruitful life. You can't hurt a dead man. You can't hurt a dead man. You say whatever you want to him, it's not going to affect him. You can do whatever you want. I wrote this down here. Somebody said this, I think you said this in men's prayer breakfast here. I'm going to put a little bit different twist on it than what you did. Because I've always kind of felt this way about how you said it too. Sticks and stones can break my bones, but words will never hurt me. Remember saying that in men's prayer breakfast? And I got to thinking about that. And I always look at it and I said the same thing as Steve said. That is such a false statement. Sticks and stones can break my bones, but words will never hurt me. If I was a dead man, it wouldn't. I never really thought about it from that perspective. Because words do hurt. Sometimes people do say things that I don't like to hear. And my feelings get hurt. But if I was a dead man, it wouldn't bother me. Sometimes we get all out of sorts. You know why? Because we didn't die to self. We didn't wake up in the morning and say, God, it's not my will, but your will to be done. Whatever you want to come into my life, whatever your plans are for my life, I'm dead to my will today. I'm dying to myself, and I'm going to do whatever you want me to do, whatever that may be, because it's not going to bother me because I'm a dead man. Your purpose in this world is far bigger than you. Your role in your family is far bigger than you. Your ministry in this church is far bigger than you. Your ministry outside of this church is far bigger than you. Your work in your place of employment is much bigger than you. Your walk with God is much bigger than you. Hey, this life is much bigger than you. Hey, it's not all about us. It's not about you. It's not about me. It's about Jesus Christ, and we want to accomplish His will in our lives. It's about God doing a work in your life so that you can be used for His honor and His glory. Everything we do ought to bring honor and glory to Jesus Christ. It's not about building a name for ourselves, building us up. It's about building Him up, building His work up. We must humble ourselves. We must die to ourselves. We must fully surrender our lives to Jesus. Look at Matthew chapter number 16, verse 24. The last part of the verse there. If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. See, we must die to the flesh and our self-centeredness. Galatians 2:20, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. In the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. I've got to be crucified. It's not about living the life that we want to live. It's about Christ living his life through us. See, we're just a vessel. We're just a tool in the tool bag that God wants to use. And we just need to be willing to let God use us however He wants to use us. Just be willing. Be dead to self. We must die to our selfish desires and allow the Holy Spirit of God to have full control of our lives. Allow Christ to produce His fruit in you. John 15, 4 through 5, abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. Here it is again. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, ye can do nothing. So we have to let God do whatever He's going to do in our lives. We have to allow Christ to produce the fruit. Christ wants to produce His fruit in you, but we need to allow Him to do that. See, He's not going to force us to do anything. We need to allow Him to work in our lives. Galatians 5:22-25, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ, here it is, have crucified the flesh with the affections and lust. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. So we need to realize that death brings life. We have to die to ourselves. And then lesson number three, lastly, count trials a joy. Or as Colby says, the proper way to say it would be count trials as joy. That's the proper English way of saying it, okay? So we got that nailed down. The fruit of the Spirit doesn't come to us by going down the easy road. You're going to have to go through some storms. See, we want the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, all gentleness, goodness, meekness, all these things. We want all the fruit of the Spirit. How many of you want the fruit of the Spirit? Raise your hand. Everybody wants the fruit of the Spirit, right? Problem is we don't get that by going down easy road. We don't get that unless we go through some storms in our lives. Because God has to work off the rough edges in our lives. He's got to throw us through some storms, and He's got to put us through the fires, and He's got to put us through some trials so that we can learn to trust Him. Because sometimes when we get backed up to a wall and we have no other place to go but to look to Jesus, now He can do something with us. Now we can experience real joy, but it doesn't come through an easy life. I know Claire's here tonight, and Dee Dee. I was thinking of Skip Weisenhaus. That was a man that was full of joy. I know Cameron was telling me last week, he says, if there was one person that just made everybody feel at home here at Grandview Baptist Church, it was him, Skip Weisenhaus. What an amazing guy. And I remember the impact that he has had on so many people in this church. But you know, Skip went through a lot of heartache. He went through a lot of problems. He lost another wife. I remember we mentioned that in class, and Philip says, yeah, I was one of those fifth graders that got to pray with him every day. What an amazing guy. I hope you got to know him. But here's a guy of joy. But you know, he didn't get that way overnight. He had to go through a lot of trials. He didn't get it through going through a life of ease. Nobody looks forward to going through trials or storms. But let me promise you this. There is a purpose. That storm that you're going through, that difficult thing that you're going through, there is a purpose. God knows what He's doing. I don't understand it. I don't understand sometimes why we have to go through difficult things. Why is it that God allows good people to go through hard times? Let me tell you, there's a purpose. See, it's bigger than us. It's not just about us. God wants to put you through a storm because He's trying to mold your life into the man or woman He wants you to be. He wants you to experience real joy, but joy doesn't come without storms in your life. Many times we never realize that something needs to be fixed in our lives until we go through a storm. Danny McAllister's in here tonight. I used her as an illustration in class on Sunday. We were talking about this was the lesson we were actually on, counting trials of joy. We just started it. It takes us 3 weeks to get through one lesson every week, but that's okay. She had mentioned something about her husband, Michael. Is he still locked up at the nursing home? 2 more weeks. He can't leave because they're all quarantined there. They had a huge breakout at the nursing home. He's the maintenance guy in the nursing home there. And she was telling in Sunday school, she says, yeah, they had all 3 floors were leaking with this rainstorm they had. And I got to thinking about it after she mentioned that, and I was like, you know, he never would have known that there was a problem until the storm took place. He didn't know there was holes in the roof until the storm took place. You see, sometimes we have holes in our lives that we don't know about. And we have some repairs that God wants to make, but we don't know about it until we go through the storm. And all of a sudden, those problems arise because the storm revealed an area that we needed God to work on in our lives. Storms are a wonderful thing if you go through the storm the proper way. If you understand that God knows what He's doing, hey, if you're going through a storm right now, let me tell you, God's got a purpose for your life, and He's working on you right now. He wants to do something powerful in your life. You may not understand the why, and you may not understand how it's all going to turn out, but let me just tell you, God is in control of that, and He'll help you get through that storm. You just keep a right attitude. You just keep a good spirit. You just keep your head up high and realize that God's going to help you through that storm, and He's going to mold you through that storm. He's going to make you a better Christian through that storm, and every time, that's what He's always hoping to do in your life. It's a good thing when the Holy Spirit points out an area in our lives that needs attention. Sometimes God has to get our attention. Remember Jonah? God got Jonah's attention. You know, he was told to go to Nineveh, but he didn't want to go to Nineveh. I think Jonah and I had a lot of things in common. He didn't want to go preach there. I don't always want to get up here and preach. But Jonah didn't want to go preach to Nineveh. He had his own agenda. He went to Joppa and got on a boat and headed to Tarshish. He fell asleep in the ship. All of a sudden, the storm came. And all the guys are going nuts, like, what's going on? Who's the one at fault for this? They go and wake up Jonah. Hey, call on your God. Let's figure out what's going on here. Man, they're throwing things overboard, and they're trying to throw this overboard to lighten the ship. And then they cast lots, and the lot fell on Jonah. He says, yep, I'm the one. He didn't come clean at first, but he said, yep, I'm the one. I'm at fault. I know that this storm is because of me. God finally, and even still then, God didn't get his attention. Jonah admitted the storm was due to his rebellion. He told the sailors to throw him overboard. But it wasn't until he was swallowed by the whale that God finally got his attention. And then he cries out to the Lord. Hey, what does God have to do to get your attention? What is God going to have to do to get my attention? Sometimes it takes storms. Sometimes we have to go through it. By the way, not every storm that comes into our lives is because we've sinned against God. You know, Job went through a lot of storms, but it wasn't because he was sinning against God. So just because you're going through a storm in your life doesn't mean that God's angry with you. By the way, even if you have sinned against him, it's not because he's angry with you per se. He just wants to get you to a place to where you'll get back to him. Or he wants you to get to the place to where you have a good attitude when you get treated that way. He wants you to get to the place to where you can love your enemies genuinely. Instead of saying, yeah, I love you, but you really don't. He wants you to get to the place to where you can give to people cheerfully and see a need and say, yeah, I can take care of that. He wants you to get to the place to where you can have real joy in your life even when you're going through what you would think is a catastrophe. Too many times we just get all upset about certain whatever, and it may be that God wants to remind you again, hey, look, I got this. I've been through many storms, and you don't have to worry about this because I've got this one too. And it may be he just wants to help us to realize that he's in control. Sometimes God just wants to reveal his power and strength in our lives. It may be that we need to go through a pruning process or a purging process. John chapter 15, verse 2, every branch in me beareth not fruit, that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it. Look what it says, that it may bring forth more fruit. See, it may be that God wants to use you in a greater capacity than what he's using you at right now. And so maybe he has to prune a few things off that branch, off your branch, so that you can produce more fruit. Trials, storms, problems that come into our lives. Sometimes we have to be purged so that we can produce more fruit. Malachi 3:3 says, and he shall sit as a refiner and purifier of silver, and he shall purify the sons of Levi, and purge them as gold and silver, that they may offer unto the Lord an offering in righteousness. Sometimes we have to go through the refiner's fire. I was thinking about a story. Dr. John Getch tells a story. He was in a class it was, but he was talking about how he was making a screwdriver. I think maybe a high school class or something, I'm not sure, but he was making a screwdriver. He made the screwdriver, and he got it looking beautiful. It looked just like a regular screwdriver. If you picked it up, you'd say, yeah, it's a screwdriver. He gave it to his teacher, and his teacher went to go tighten down a screw or something like that and just twisted the thing up. He says, hey, what in the world? What happened? He said, did you put it in the fire? You know, I thought I'd skip that step. You can't do that because the tool has to go through the fire to become hardened enough to be able to be useful as the tool. And what a powerful illustration, but if you want to be useful for God in a powerful way, if you want to be a stronger tool in God's toolbox, guess what you're going to have to do? You're going to have to go through some fires. You're going to have to go through some storms in your life. You're going to have to go through some uncomfortable times that you just don't want to go through. But if you realize that God put that situation in your life to mold you and to make you stronger in him. See, it's a shame that too many Christians, when a storm comes in their life, this shouldn't happen to a Christian, but it's a shame that too many Christians, when a storm or a trial comes into their life, that's when they want to bail. That's when they want to get out of church. That's when they want to get upset at people in the church. That's when they want to, their attitude becomes the wrong attitude. Hey, listen, when you're going through a trial, turn to Jesus. Trust him through the storm. He's trying to make you stronger. He's trying to make you better. He doesn't want to make you bitter. Don't get bitter. If he's doing something in your life, thank God that he thinks you're worthy of it. We may not like going through the fire, but this is God's process to make you what you need to be. Isaiah 55, 8 and 9, we're done. For my thoughts are not your thoughts. Neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. God wants to use you in a powerful way. But it probably won't be the way you're thinking he's going to use you. It's probably not going to be in the manner that you think. See, his thoughts are different than ours. But are you willing to let God put you through whatever he wants to put you through so that he can use you in a powerful way? If you let him have your life, he will use you in a far greater capacity than you could ever dream. And I'll tell you this, you're not going to be disappointed. But we've got to learn to trust him and obey him. We've got to learn to die to ourselves every day. And we've got to count trials as joys. Rejoice through the storms of life because he's working on you. Every head bowed, every eye closed. I don't know what it is that God's working in your life. But I do know he knows what he's doing. In just a moment, we're going to stand to our feet and we're going to open up an invitation. As the music plays, I guess, we'll go ahead and stand. Everybody stand. Hey, the altar's open. Are you tired of living the Christian life in your power and your strength? Have you had enough of feeling you're beating your head up against the wall trying to understand what in the world is God doing in your life right now? When are you going to give in? Pastor? When are you going to give in, Christian? Hey, if you're here tonight and you've never placed your faith in Jesus Christ, you've never received him as your personal Savior, what are you waiting for? Now's the time to get it settled. Hey, Christian, when's the last time you visited an old-fashioned altar and fully surrendered your life to him? Hey, you might even be a staff member. Hey, the altar is open for even staff members. Are you tired of doing ministry your way? Hey, teacher, whether you're Grandview Christian Academy or whether maybe a Sunday school teacher, are you tired of teaching your students in your power? Hey, choir, orchestra member, are you using your talents to please God or man? Hey, usher or greeter, do you realize that you might have the most important ministry in the church? You better be surrendered to God fully. Hey, nursery or children's worker, do you realize the impact that your sacrifice is making on a young couple's marriage? You can't afford to be in the nursery serving in your power. You have to be filled with his power if you're going to make it. You can look this way. So we have tonight Zoe Hitchcock is coming to get baptized. And so she's getting ready up there right now. And I believe she got saved at camp and worked out the family could be here. So she's going to get baptized tonight. Derek's going to help us with that. And then Augustus Blackheart, right back over here. All right. He is coming to join our church. I talked to him before the service and he is saved and scripturally baptized. And so we'd like to vote him in. He's excited about becoming a member of our church, and we're excited to have you. So all in favor of receiving Augustus, would you say amen?
Amen.
Amen. Well, we're excited about that. And I believe they're going to be up here in just a minute. And so I get to do what Pastor likes to do and sing a song for you. No, I'm not going to do that. That's for sure. So be in prayer. I know they're having the, I don't think they still have the barbecue going on out there. I believe they shut that down. Is that right? They already shut that down, honey? You don't know. Okay. She was just out there helping with it. I thought maybe you would know, but she doesn't know. But I think they shut that down. But the kids had a good night over there with the first responders, and we're very, very thankful for all of our first responders. And that's a blessing. I wanted to make just a couple announcements here. One of the things, I got a call from somebody this week, one of our shut-ins, Sharon Morris. She lives over there right across the street from the Andruses. And she, every once in a while, she needs a ride to the hospital or a doctor's appointment or something like that. And so if there's somebody that maybe a retired lady or somebody that would be available to every once in a while, I think she said once every couple months, or maybe it was twice a month, she might need somebody to do that. So if you're interested in that, let me know. Also, we are making a list of, we had somebody that fell down the front steps on Sunday. And we're gonna put together probably a video on this as well. But since I have time, I'm going to announce it now. If you are familiar in the medical field at all, if you're a nurse or a EMT, Christina's an EMT, she's a paramedic. We have some of you. I know Toby's a nurse. She's our school nurse. But I'd like to make a list for our security team of all the people that know how to respond quickly to a first aid situation. Just that way we can, instead of trying to figure out, okay, who do we call or where do we go if there's somebody on property, then we can get their assistance right away. And so anyway, that would be a huge help if you're able to let us know about that. We'll make a list. And they're still getting ready up there. Praise the Lord. Don't forget about all these events going up. Tailgate Sunday, I know TJ did a great job announcing those. Earlier on October the 3rd, our missions emphasis as well. Are we still doing that? That's on here, right? Yeah, you can be seated. Go ahead. I'm sorry. Go ahead and be seated. Hey, I had to stand the whole time. You can stand for a while. You can suffer for Jesus for a little bit. No. Trunk or treat, I hope you can get signed up to be a part of that as well. All righty. She's very brave. Like I said, 85 degrees on the baptistry water. So, but she was forewarned, so.
This is Zoe Hitchcock. Zoe, I now baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, buried in the likeness of his death, raised in the likeness of his resurrection.
All right, we had all of our teens up here to be able to watch that as well. That's a wonderful thing. I believe that's everything. Any other announcements? All right, we got them. Let's close in prayer and we'll be dismissed. Father, we love you this evening. God, thank you for helping us. Lord, we know you have our best interest in mind, Lord, and you know what's best for us. God, I pray that we'll take the truths that we've heard tonight, and Lord, I pray that you'll bless each of us as we go our way. I pray you'll do a great and mighty work in our lives. Lord, we love you in Jesus' name. Amen. You are dismissed.